tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre down, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Shaku Maku, everybody. It's a brilliant Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos, and we are set for the Public Square, where we talk about all of the big and important issues in town. I hope the week has been a great one for you. Plenty of things happening, and Friday be the best time for you to fasten the seatbelt if you're headed home to listen to a great show. Today's Public Square is dedicated to the power sector, which is in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism. It's the third and last of a special three-part series on key electricity issues. And today's episode focuses on power distribution. The earlier two had focused on power sector budget and then power generation and transmission. Today's panel features two brilliant gentlemen. Adetayo Adegbenle is Executive Director of Power Up NG. I'm sure you remember him very well from the Power Up NG show. And Kolawole Oludare is the Deputy Director, Socioeconomic Rights and Accountability Project, SERAP. I'm sure you know SERAP also very well too. We've also invited the Association of DISCOs to share their perspectives, but then they had to decline the invitation for today's program. After the panel is done, Rotimi Sankore will join in for some big picture analysis, and of course we'll want to hear from you, the audience, and power sector consumers on your electricity experience. Remember, you can always weigh in on social media at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awogo Obo, and at Nigeria Info FM, where the program is being streamed live on Facebook as well as on YouTube. So great to have you, Adetayo Adegbenle, join us together with Kolawole Oludare.
Hello, hello.
Okay, excellent. I see you now. I see you're trying to adjust and get the camera the right way, but we hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And thank you very much for joining us. And I'm sure that excellent. I'm sure that Mr. Oludare with Sarah will join us also too once we can connect with you.
That's cool.
All right. So first and foremost, we're back to this electricity wahala, which I'm sure is something you have to deal with every now and again. What the real problems are with electricity distribution will form the discussion and the core of discussions this evening. What would you say when you hear people talk about poor metering? Is this an exaggeration? Yes, or is it the fact we're dealing with here?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And you see, what we need, where we need to start having that conversation. Yes, we have come up with all sorts of different positions, all sorts of alternative positions, all sorts of solutions, you know, proposals to the government, NERC. But unfortunately, none of them seems to have been able to meet up with the solution yet.
Right.
Now, that does not mean that we will have progress. I mean, but I think we should start from the beginning, which is that in Nigeria, and it's also a general problem,
right. We
lack data. You know, one of the biggest problems, challenges that we have is the fact that we don't even know how many consumers, how many connections we have on national grid. We don't have that data. So, unfortunately, again, by the time we're doing the handover. NERC was preparing documentation for the handover to private sector in 2013 November. They made another grievous error in underestimating the number of customers that are connected to the national grid. As at then, the figure said we were about 6 point something million. Even though, as at that year, figures from Bureau of Statistics says it was almost twice as double of that. You know, so you know, part of the implication of that is whatever plans you make for a data that is not complete,
right?
There is no policy that you make based on that that will ever be right or be enough. And of course, there are also different schemes that have been introduced along the line. One of them is that what we call the credited advanced payment metering system, CAPMI. The idea there is that you can pay. Once you pay, you take your cash to the discos or to PATN as a den. They will issue you your meter. Again, this was also bedeviled with a lot of Nigerian factors. So it wasn't exactly a successful one, but yes, it was, because to a very large extent, it solved the problems of, you know, major problems that people are facing then. Then later, when the discos came on board, we also had a situation where, of course, it was the disco duty to meter Nigerians.
Right.
You know, it was the disco's duty to meter Nigerians.
Right.
So everybody went up. CAPMI was suspended. But unfortunately, these discos kept coming back to Nigerians saying, sorry, we can't meter you because, you know, forest kept changing, inflation kept changing, you know. So there were millions of, myriads of complaints as part. So yes, let me, I mean, we can continue talking about the policies and how it has been done along the line.
Right.
What I'm talking about metering.
But
metering remains a very big challenge. I mean, okay, let me just continue then. I mean, so we have a situation where we now have, we also pushed for it, you know, at the point we started pushing for independent metering service providers to come on board. What that means is this. You have your, I mean, you have your SIM card from any of the telecommunication company.
Right.
You don't need to go to them. At the initial stage, when it was these guys that were bringing telephones, you know how expensive it was. Mm-hmm. Some bought Nokia 3310 for as high as like something thousand, you know? So, but until we now have people that can go to China, of course, we have the standard of phones that we want to use. So it's now your choice to now go in there and buy any type of phone that you want, high-end, low-grade, as long as you can connect to the network. So, we push that. For another 2 years, Power kept pushing for an independent metering service provider on all platforms as possible, until eventually we got the ears of the private company and came up with MAP.
Good.
Now, MAP, unfortunately, the implementation of MAP 2 was poor. You know, the policy itself, we also raised issues about the challenges, about the limitations of the policy and everything,
right,
which all came to pass eventually, you know. And sometimes last year, federal government just woke up and said, you know what? We are going to try and, you know, cover the official metering gap.
Right.
You know, the official data, the official figure of the metering gap, you know. So they came up with the national mass metering. They came up with the official, they came up with the National Mass Metering Program, NMMP.
Good.
So, which interestingly, I must also say this. I mean, we are always hitting government when they have not done well. And when they have done well, I think we should also commend them. I mean, the figures from National Mass Metering Program the last 1 year has been a very massive, I mean, well, phase zero was successfully able to install about 1 million meters, which was something that not never been recorded by any of the metering schemes by the federal government. So kudos go to the federal government on that and everybody involved in that scene. But yes, NMMP promised 6 million meters to try and cover up the metering gap.
Right.
So 1 million is still 1/6 of the promise and the possible results you are going to get. Notwithstanding, not minding the fact that the data that we have is not complete. I'll explain this. The official figures put total number of customers to about 6.something million as at 2013 when they were taking over.
Good.
These goals were meant to do customer evaluation and classification.
Right.
Which none of these, as we speak, as at today, 8 years after taking over,
right,
none of them has been able to complete. None of them has published any official figure to the government.
Mm.
So whatever figure we are having, then we have, incidentally, I heard when you were speaking about ANED, that ANED was invited. Funny enough, I was in the mid, I was in a program with ANED yesterday,
right,
in that same Lagos. So why did the client come in is what I don't understand. But the executive director, research and policy for ANED, spoke on a TV station interview and said, you know what? Customers are attached to the national grid is about, it's about 32 million. Now, what does that tell you? Maybe your figure, official figure says 10 million, and it took the number, the actual number of collection is 32 million. What that tells you is that you, for any policy that we're
right,
able to, or we put on that 10 million plus that they claim that we have, can never be sustainable for the power sector.
And if we do the checklist now that we have at least some idea where the problems are around the metering system, I think we can go on to tariffs, because this,
yes,
has often been a very controversial discussion. In fact, as we speak, there are talks that the tariff will happen from next month, as early as next month, and it's been met with a lot of stiff opposition from everyone. You think the tariffs for electricity in this country are realistic or unrealistic as we speak?
You see, this is something I've also argued on several platforms. Our sector is the only, it's probably the only economic sector where the unit cost of production is not known. I'm going to repeat that. Power sector is probably the only economic sector,
right,
where the unit cost of production is not known. Now, if the unit cost of production is not known, how do you sell? At what rate do you sell? At every point, every estimation made by the regulators has been faulty, has never been, you know, achieved. For instance, even with this service-based reflective service-based tariff that we are operating now, from September last year, 2020, you know, even every point of production, we've never been able to meet it. Now, I will speak to MITO. That's the multi-year tariff order that determines how electricity tariff, you know, is done,
right,
bills and everything.
Mm.
Part of the thing that determines tariff is a foreign exchange rate, the rate of inflation, right?
Right.
The number of goalposts too has also been moved since 2008. One of them is that a tariff will go into effect if we're able to meet a particular volume of power generation. We're never able to hit those power generation. In fact, if you're private, unfortunately, this is not a TV where we could show the graph of power generation output, you know. Over the years, it's been like on a plateau from the average of 2005 to an average of 3005. We barely hit 4,000 megawatts on the average. Now, for economists that are listening to us, I'm sure they will, an accountant, they will also understand a bit better what is happening. One, you don't know the number of customers that you have on a network.
Right.
And yet, you lower band to determine your calculation. Two, you don't even have a confirmed figure for your unit cost of production. So we find a situation where producers of electricity are not the ones complaining about the cost of electricity. It is people that are selling electricity. Let me give you an analogy in this. You are not producing bread.
Right.
Right?
Mm.
You're the bakery, but you're not the supermarket that sells it. Right?
Mm.
Who fixes the price? Is this the supermarket or you that you're selling the bread? The distributors don't have any cost in production here. What they do is they take power free, right?
Right.
And sell. then return the money through the value chain like that. But nobody in the bakery has ever complained about the, well, maybe they complain about the price of garri and of flour at the point, then, you know, production and everything. But they're not the one complaining about the cost of sales. It is the distributor that takes the bread from them to sell that is complaining about the cost of sales. You see how funny this scenario is. So we have that situation where even the GenCos are not the one complaining about the cost of 1 kilowatt hour. It is the distributors. So I keep saying this. We need at some point to sit down, look at the whole power sector architecture and to review it, which is what we have not done, which is what we are shying away from. And which I believe for as long as we continue like this, it will continue to be an issue. The interesting part of it is that every arm of the power sector has their challenges or have their challenges. When I say every arm, I mean, power generation, they have their challenges. But the only thing is that right now, I argue that they are better off than transmission, because if they have more demands,
right,
they might be able to reach it. Installed capacity now is good, about 10,000 megawatts. Agree. But what is the actual production and what comes into the network? Everything is barely 4,500. Now, transmission keeps telling us that, oh, with this stress test, we can do 1,000 megawatts, we can do 2,000 megawatts. But in actuality, how much of their of the capacity available are they able to wield at any particular point in time? They have their challenges. Distribution continues to have the biggest headache. Interestingly, and it confessed to us that, oh, we know we have problems because it's everywhere. But this question is, what I did not notice, and unfortunately when I was giving my feedback during the program, I missed that from my speech, was that you've been telling us that you have problems, but you have not told us what are the ways, what investment you've done to try and solve those problems. Now, so it is not that we can point finger at any particular one and say you are the one that has a problem. We all have a problem with our power sector. In fact, we consumers too, we have problems. We have to come to terms with that. There is no go back about that. So, again, let me go back to the question. If we are not able to determine how much 1 kilowatt hour costs to produce,
right,
how do we determine the good price at the end? So for me, I'll keep saying what we've been doing basically is just to fix tariff because Nigerians can pay it. We've been forcing it on Nigerians and they've been paying it and we don't have any problem. But if they will come, that this thing will come to a break, Nigerians will only pay what they can afford to pay.
Absolutely. And I think it's happening in many places already where people failing in their bills. And this next question is a monster. If you just joined us this evening, it's the third part and final part of our special on the power sector, and this is in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism. And today we are focusing on power distribution. All the parts of the discussion had focused on other areas. And if you just joined in also too, you want to ask questions, I'm going to put the number on WhatsApp up for you so you can send in those questions for Aditya Adegbenle or once Kola Oluwadari joins in from SERAP, then they can attend to the questions. The number on WhatsApp is 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. Any questions, we'll take it. So I said this next question is a monster because it's what a number of people have pointed accusing fingers from the executive to the legislature, from the consumer to the one who's supplying the power. They say corruption. At some point, you even had the National Assembly set up a special panel to probe the monies that had been used for power. I remember that was the Ondude Lumelu panel in 2006. Up till now, we have no idea where the corruption probes have gone in. What would you say about corruption in the power sector, Tayo? All right, looks like we have a freeze here, but we'll try and reconnect with him. Some network wahala here. Thankfully, it's not a power wahala, so he'll come up as soon, as quickly as possible. So big discussion we're having today, and Public Square, and this, like I said earlier on, is in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism. So while Adetayo Adegbunle rejoins us, I see that we now have also joining the conversation, Kolawole Oluwadare, Deputy Director, SERAP. Can you hear me clearly now, Kolawole Oluwadare?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Excellent. Okay. All right. So,
I'm sorry, I've been struggling with my network. it looks like the network is almost like the power supply. There's a competition for it. It's the most disruptive.
Absolutely. We're very disruptive. We're waiting for 5G. Maybe the 5G will be the answer, but people say it may just be another pipe dream. In the way the connection happens, but better late than never. So very quickly, I've been asking a number of questions that we've been discussing. Adetayo Adegbunle, the Executive Director of Power Up NG, and he's been gracious a lot with his responses on many of the issues. So what I'll do, we'll piggyback and froth on some of those questions, and then we'll get your views on the new questions. And I was asking him on corruption, and lo and behold, you came in, and I know how much a watchdog SERAP is in this sort of things. And when we talk about the power sector and the distribution sector, Kolawole, what would you say in terms of what corruption has done and its impact on the sector?
Thank you very much. Corruption appears to be the culprit in every sector in Nigeria, not only. And I would like to say that is applicable. That is true to the extent of the disruption that corruption has done to public services generally in Nigeria. So when we talk to corruption in the power sector, technically we can look at all facets, like Adebayo said, from production, distribution to transmission. But these corruption takes its lead from what we've seen happening in the old Nigerian state. It all boils down to impunity. And impunity, while it may not be corruption, is a major driver of corruption. So we've seen reports upon reports. We've seen allegations upon allegations about how trillions of naira, amounting to millions of dollars, have disappeared into private pockets. And individuals have been named, but no one is yet to be punished for it. And that is the extent of corruption. So in that regard, if corruption happens at the highest level with such huge amount of money and no one gets punished, why do you think anyone would be willing to stop corruption? From the average power official who goes to disconnect power without authority, or who even accepts bribes, or who even does all sorts. What is the moral right? What morality do you have to punish such individuals when at the highest level impunity reigns? And to put some context into this, SERAP published a report in 2017 detailing how more than 7 trillion naira has been disappeared into private pockets. SERAP even took a step further by filing a suit in court, a freedom of information suit, because we asked critical questions from government to name those individuals, whether contractors and their collaborators in the public service who have collected money for power projects and did not execute them. We did not get a response, so we went to court. And in 2019, Honorable Justice Obiozor of the Federal Court Lagos delivered a ruling in our favor, clearly directing and mandating the government to give details of private contractors and their public office collaborators who have collected money for power contracts since 1999 and who have refused to do what they are supposed to do. That judgment is yet to be obeyed. So if impunity can happen at that highest level, when we talk of corruption by those in possibly the discourse about those other, I can call them petty corruption, because there is grand corruption and petty corruption. Corruption will continue to thrive. And if we keep looking at the small figures, not looking at the big picture, bigger picture, then we are missing the point also, which is why the president needs to set a good example by not only being transparent in the management of public funds, but also follow up on reports that come out year after year and make sure that individuals who are found culpable face justice. And most importantly, that those funds are recovered and put back in the in public coffers. It's as simple as that, but it can get more detailed and more technical. But technicality and blame game will not help anyone until the rule of law.
Absolutely, won't help anyone. And in case you're just joining, this is called Oluwa Diary, who is the deputy director of SERAP. And I, while we're speaking, I'm seeing messages coming on WhatsApp. And Kola, I was going to ask you this question before I saw this from Okwe Kende, who is writing it from Ijegun, who says, I appreciate your guest for his explicit analysis. And I agree that both the customers and the transmission and distribution are guilty of any inefficiency. Let the government extend their license to everyone who wants to come as a player in the electricity sector. Let this transmission companies issue meters. I guess he means the distribution companies issue meters to customers instead of this estimated billing. Without this, we're going nowhere. Which brings me to this issue of estimated billing, Kola Wole. I remember, I mean, so embarrassing was it that the National Assembly got in, even put up a bill about saying that it was illegal and you could sue if you got an estimated bill either for your business or for your home. I don't know what you and SERAP have seen over the years, whether if legislation won't solve this problem. How on earth do we get to this, that people get estimated billing at the end of every month? I see also, too, that Adetayo Adegbenle is back, but let's speak with you first, Kola Ole, on this one. Estimated billing. Okay, he's out of the discussion. He'll get back, I guess. All right, I see you there now, Kola Ole. All right, can you go ahead and respond?
Maybe you should take the question again.
Okay, good. So I was talking about estimated billing. Can you hear me clearly now? All right, we got some connection issues here, but I'm sure we'll resolve this quickly as possible. But Tayo, you're back, and I'm sure you have the question also too around. Brilliant. So maybe you have a go at it, and then maybe Kola Ole can also help add some to it also too.
I think the question is, how come we have estimated billing?
Right.
It is not a practice that is peculiar to Nigeria. The only difference in this case is that maybe the way we have implemented it is a bit Nigerian-ish, you know, in nature. The idea is very simple. Yes, not everybody will be metered at any particular point in time. The history of metering or measurements, you know, of any service also dictates that there are times, in the olden days, we have a situation where we have those old electromagnetic meters.
Right.
That you have to come, take the reading, check your reading against last month, what was doing as a particular date last month, to record it, what you have this month, to record it. Now, there are instances where you are not at home, for instance, you're in the office, and when the marketer comes, you're in the office. So what they usually do is, if that happens for 3 consecutive months, then you have to now estimate, you know, your reading, right?
Right.
Or happens this month, for instance, but you still have to do your bill. What they will do is look at your figures the past 4 months and base that on it. Now, the initial policy says that, yes, you should be given estimated billing once if they don't have access to your meter. After, you know, you look at the last 3 months' consumption and base it on that.
Right.
So there's a reference, right? That is by law, by the Electric Power Sector Reform Act 2005. There's a reference. Now, the Power Sector Reform Act also says that, the estimated billing methodology also said that you are not allowed, you know, you are not, you're not, the discourse
are not allowed to give you estimated billing. Are you with me?
Yeah, with you. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good. So those were established in your original document. But you see, unfortunately, the Nigerian factor came in, you know, that because we don't have meters, then the issue of impunity comes in. It's supposed to just give figures as they like, you know. And unfortunately, NERC that was supposed to come hard on these guys,
right?
You know, there is this belief that they're also complicit in this, you know. They turned their eye when the schools also misbehave. You know, I mean, they also claim that because you'll be given an estimated bill, which local parlance, what we call crazy billing, you know, this school, the law says that when you have such an end challenge, go to the discourse. But how many people are able to get justice from the discourse? Now, moving from the discourse, how many people are able to get that attention of the regulators, which is NERC?
Right.
So this went on for a while until early last year.
Right.
That's what we are, I mean, yeah, part of also the feedback from that was when the National Assembly, sponsored by the present speaker, Honorable Femi Badiabeka, came on board and said, oh, we want to analyze an estimated billing.
Good.
Well, we went to a lot of public hearing, we made a lot of presentations, blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you this, even as I then, my conclusion was this was a jamboree because it was a political matter. That's a fact. That's why till date, even now that it has become the Speaker of the House of Assembly, did you hear anything about that estimated billing methodology, crazy billing, whatever? No, that's died. We are natural there. Maybe they will go back to the day when they need somebody to come early. And practically, it was impracticable. That's the truth. But that's by the deal. But on this other end, NERC now taught it wise. So, say, okay, you know what? Let's put a cap to what is possible. So, for instance, going by the general history of power supply to a particular place, you know, they will say, okay, this is the highest you can deal anybody in that area. So, what the discourse also did was they will just put you all, everybody on that highest illegal kilowatt hour for the month and give you your bills. Now, again, for me, this is not justice. The truth about it is that until consumers are duly metered, see, there, if any standard of measurement is not introduced in any trade,
right,
every other thing that I want to talk about is cheating. This goes to at one end tell you, oh, I mean, yes, there's also this allegation that the discos make a lot of money from estimated billing. But you see, this is where the problem is for everybody. Number one, the power that we're generating in Nigeria is not enough to go around. You must come to town with that.
Very true.
Power we're generating is not enough to go around. Number two, I'm sure you yourself, you're walking down the street, you're driving around, you see shops, they have put on their lights. Most of these, our boutiques don't have meters, but you see a lot of bling in the place. Now, the worst part of it is that they don't just put it on at night, they also put it on during the day. Now, who bears the cost for that? Innocent other innocent people. You see, there are some houses that they are the signposts. If you want to know if there is light, just open your window and look at their house. You will see their light is permanently on. You know, as I'm driving to your area, there are some houses once you pass and you see light, you know there is light in this area. There are houses like that all over Nigeria. You understand? But you see, you never ask yourself who pays for that energy that's been wasted. Now, if metering is effective,
right,
my brother, is that a lot of people will conserve the energy that they're using and a lot more other people will be able to, you know, have access to power. But unfortunately, you don't have much. So, estimated billing is because you don't have meters, basically. You don't have a meter to get estimated. But there are rules to how you can get estimated. Were those rules followed? No.
And
which is one of the major problems that we're facing with us.
Absolutely. A lot of concepts that we have in this country, unfortunately, we haven't followed the rule of thumb. And the abuse has happened, and the abuse, unfortunately, has consequences. Everywhere you go, Aditya, in this country, we talk about infrastructure deficit in every sector, whether it's healthcare, education, the industries, general life, basically. You have public sector, infrastructure deficit problems, and it's no small wonder, even in the power sector, infrastructure is also a problem. Meanwhile, keep sending those questions and comments on WhatsApp. I'm seeing them. I'll forward them to Aditayo and Kola Ole very shortly on all your thoughts on corruption. I see here also too, and what you think about the tariff. But on infrastructure, please paint a picture, if you were asked in summary, what is the state of the country's power sector infrastructure, where we are, and what it has cost us, and where we should be?
Well, we should speak historically,
right?
At this point, I mean, we have to come to terms with where we were, where we are, and what's possible for us to do.
Good.
There is this general story that, you know, people say online, which is the fact that Lagos states had power supply barely 5 years after London. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I've heard it, and you know, I marveled where we are now.
Power in Lagos. Now, what that means is that if we are to be speaking about any country that is power sufficient, Nigeria should also be in the top leader, top 10, if not top 5, because of our population. But unfortunately, things kept deteriorating since then. Yes, we had some bright spots. The Kenji Dam came into play. We had Jeba Dam. Then, of course, before then, we had all those, we had the coal power plants that's in Ijora.
Good.
It's commissioned now, but I mean, if you pass Ijora very well, so as you climb that bridge, you see the plant is still there. Commissioned. I mean, those are the earliest power generating plants that we have in the country. Then, of course, by the time Kenji Dam came and everything. But then we now had about 20 years that not one single investment was made in the power sector by the military government. And that 20 years span between 1983,
good,
right? That this farm in Delta State was commissioned, that's power one. And 1999, that we had the introduction of democracy.
Good.
Right. I mean, so same problem that people like organizations like Nigerian Airways, NITEL,
the shipping line,
was same problem that Nepal had, the whole Nepal, which was one of the things that led to the power sector reform. Now, the funny thing was, as at the time of the coming on board of people like of President Obasanjo's regime in 1999,
good,
it felt as something that could be done, right?
Right.
So, I mean, at the point, yeah, I went ahead and installed, appointed Ige, you know, the
Bola Ige, yeah.
Bola Ige.
Yeah.
And Bola Ige was like, oh, don't worry, 6 months, power problem will be eating up the past in Nigeria. Not minding the lack of investment in the previous 20 years leading up to that 1999.
Good.
You know? So, I mean, he also felt optimistic. But unfortunately, this is where the issue of corruption came on board. In fact, it was during that period, investigation by President Olusegun Obasanjo's regime, administration, you know, that the level of the deep-seated corruption in Nepal came to fall. You know? And the interesting part of it was that President Olusegun Obasanjo, you know, constituted committees, you know, that came up with the idea of a power sector reform. For me, it is one major masterstroke in the power sector history of Nigeria, the power sector reform. You know, and it was, see, if you read the story, boy, I mean, the basic reason behind it was corruption in Nepal, the lack of investments over 20 years. What that meant was that the hole that has been dug cannot be filled by government. Federal government has asked to put in that money, right?
Right.
So that's where the job, you know what, why don't you just bring in the private sector into this? Let them run, you know, this. And incidentally, we also had the issue of the liberalization of telecommunications. So as at 2001, 2002, we've had the introduction of the private sectors in telecommunication, which was yielding massive results. So it's natural to say, you know what, let's bring in. So World Bank was invited, consultants were invited to come up with documents, come up with ideas. World Bank gave us three different models that we could follow, because we realized that our model at then because we had the monolithic NEPA, mm-hmm. that handled generation, distribution, transmission, and distribution. Mm-hmm. So, and they looked at what are the other possible scenarios in the world. We saw that our coal station is a bit unique, so we couldn't follow a particular model from any particular country at any particular point in time. So they developed a system that they felt would work for Nigeria, which was, okay, fine, let's privatize the generation, let's privatize distribution, and let government, because of the security issues and everything, still hold on to transmission, you know? So that was involved. It was adopted, and of course, we went ahead and implemented it. 2005, it became a national act, you know, which gave us the Electric Power Sector Reform Act. Now, again, I'll continue to say this. That Power Sector Reform Act alone is a masterstroke. So privatizing the discos and the gencos was just a bit of the power sector reform. Now, when we are talking about power sector reform, let me also take us back, you know. The U.S. started their power sector reform in the early 1900s.
Right.
They celebrated 100 years recently. I mean, so in India started theirs in 1951. I think 1953, right?
Right.
England privatized their distribution lately in the 70s, late 70s, 78, 79. Now, what that tells you is this, yes. Well, the unfortunate part, though, in Nigeria was that the power sector reform was sold as a silver bullet. The moment private sectors came on board, everything will be resolved. Not minding the fact that we still have the Nigerian factors, we still have the factor, the human element in the argument. Of course, part of my arguments have been we have a law that was enacted in 2005. And as we're speaking in 2022, because I've already finished 2021. In 2022. And I know for a certainty that no magic can happen between now and the end of the year.
Good.
The regulators, who are supposed to be the ones that are practicing the law, they're enforcing the law, they can't come back and tell us that, you know what, the laws that were enacted in 2005, we realized that the Nigerian market responded differently to them. So we need this and this change in the law. They will not be able to say we need this and this amended. None of them, none of the NDRC chairman, none of the DGs that we have in DP, nobody from NCP, which falls under the vice president of the federation, could come up and say, let's do this. Nobody from the ministry can say we are amending the Electric Power Sector Reform Act because we have found out that these applications are not work to our, you know, to what we had, the ideas we had. It's funny. You know, so, and again, I'm going to say this. Part of the major problems that I have is that the people that are supposed to be behind our policies, they've not been able to, I mean, they are not reacting fast enough to the changes that we have in the market. They're not responding fast enough to results, to feedback that we get from the market. I'll give you one of the instances. Power Up Nigeria is one organization that stood for over 2 years talking about the inappropriate way that Nigerians were being billed for fixed charges. And the argument was very obvious, but it took the sector over 2 years to respond. Now, we're talking, I mean, we spent another 2 years talking about what independent metering service provider could do. By the time they finished doing it, there were a lot of influences. We're trying to solve a problem, right? That at a higher cost. But you are still trying to tell me that it is in my hands to determine the outcome. How do you think that's going to happen? We said, bring in the many military service providers. You need a meter in your house. You walk in there to any shop that is already assigned or that has been licensed. Pay them and get the meter immediately if you don't have the money for it. But no, the federal government, the NERC regulators, in their wisdom, felt that if you need a meter, still go back to this. And I'll tell you something. A metering device is just an hardware. It's not a billing device.
Right.
The backend still with the discos. Let him undo that. Now, when we have an independent people providing the hardware, right, and you can walk into any shop and buy, the basic thing is make sure that this is minimum standard and it is followed. And the basic thing is when you buy the hardware, go to the disco and say, come and install it, or find anybody going to say, come and install it. When they get there, the discos will look at it and say, does it meet the standard? Yeah, it does. Fine. So, cook it up.
then hook it up to your back end. So when it's reading, at your back end. When you are going to buy recharge your token, you buy it from the disco, you put it on the meter, it works. But you know what? Regulators felt in their wisdom that the discos that had failed in reading these meters are still the one that must, you know, have the final say in this. One of the reasons why MAP failed. And the truth was, this regulation was released December 22,
right.
2017, thereabouts.
17 years.
Immediately, Power of Nigeria wrote a rejoinder to that thing. We did a review of it and told them bluntly that thing was not going to work the way it has been done. 3 years down the line, we were proved right again. Now, federal government had to evolve another system to be. But you see, for me, I will tell you this. Why is it a good idea for federal government to come with NMN? Fine. But it's not even the solution.
Not the solution.
Because, let's even assume that the solution is to look at the policy, change it. If it doesn't work, that's the idea behind power sector reform. That's the idea behind any reform.
Right. So, Adita, we're getting absolutely a number of questions and comments on the discussion going in. Unfortunately, we still haven't been able to get back to having some difficulty also to connecting network. It's one of those days, Kola Waluluwa Diary. But some questions and comments I see here. Yes. This one is on saying, this is from Ayo in Dolphin. He says, on power corruption in Nigeria, it has been deepened in all sectors. You can imagine prepaid meter. He says, I have been trying to get prepaid meter applied to Ikeja Power Distribution. I was told it's not available, but they derive joy from giving high bills to consumers. For example, two-bedroom flat without air condition is being given 45,000 naira each month, he says. Then Prince from Aja says that, how difficult is it for the government to import enough meters to distribute to consumers instead of highly estimated bills causing problems? And then this last one I will take is from Dakbo in Ogba. Dakbo says, what is the latest about the Siemens contract? How come it's already working in Egypt and it seems to have hit the rocks in Nigeria? Maybe we'll deal with this one, then we come back to others.
Let me talk about the previous one that said, why can't the federal government import enough meters? Let's be very frank with ourselves. It's unfortunate that we live in a consuming economy. We are consumers in the country. We don't do anything. Even our local meter manufacturers still have to import as much as, you know, between 4 and 7 components of meters.
Wow.
Now, this goes back to the argument that we've always been putting up. The federal government's efforts should have been, you know, invested in how they can encourage local meter manufacturers to source most of these things locally. Yes, the federal government listened by patronizing local meter manufacturers for the National Mass Metering Program. But it is not just enough. I am looking at building a whole ecosystem. And this is a presentation I made to the federal government already.
Right.
When you build an ecosystem, what it means is that you cannot tell those meter manufacturers and say, you see the cases, eh? It must be sourced locally. Now, to now make sense for somebody like me to now go into the market and do my own research and find out how I can do a very cheap casing and sell to these people. With that, when you're bringing from China, you're no more bringing casing from China. But this is not what we have found, what we have seen so far. This is not the situation, this is not the condition. Is not what we are seeing from the information from the federal government. I am hoping that once we continue having all this conversation, it's going to happen one of these days. I am positive. I mean, like I said, we spent about 2 years shouting about how inappropriate fixed charges were as the way. So, I mean, I'm never tying out, but I'm going to bring problem with that. So that's the issue with Mitre.
Good.
And of course, because we don't manufacture anything here, dollar rates keeps making things difficult for everybody. The other thing that I also want to speak about is at the port. Federal government has done well by granting concessions to meter manufacturers. If you're a meter manufacturer, talk to me. I can help you get a document from Ministry of Finance and Customs. I just got for a comment recently. If you're a meter manufacturer, that is also possible. You just bring in at 5% zero levy, 0% VAT, and 5% import duty. But that's for CKD.
you know, the knockdown meters, so that you can also create employment for Nigerians here. It's doable. So that is on. That's part of the effort that the federal government has put in for meter manufacturing. Now, somebody asked about cement. Incidentally, I used to run a program on Eastern Channel.
Very true.
Talking about the power sector.
Yeah.
And I must say this. I am one of the people that never had, and I don't really think, I don't believe, I never believe. Now, this is personal. Whoever is listening, this is very personal. I don't believe for any reason that Siemens has the magic wand, you know, to solve our power problem. And someone that said it's working in Egypt, Siemens had a different deal with Egypt. They have a different project in Egypt, and they have a different deal with Egypt. Now, Siemens deal in Nigeria, well, I've gone through their proposal. Federal government has formed a company to work on the implementation. And as at this morning, there was a report, I think from the Federal Executive Committee meeting on Wednesday.
Yes.
Federal government should use some money for them to be able to import transformers and everything. I'm not optimistic about Siemens. They shifted goalposts for so long. They claim COVID is the reason. They've not also been able to finalize the kind of local manufacturers that they want to work with. Yet, the bulk of the money or the bulk of the project will still be done in Germany. Then you have to ship it in. So I'm not optimistic about it. And I think that's just it. I'm not optimistic about it.
Absolutely. Not optimistic. Aditayo, we have issues also with the distribution companies, and the question is whether they have enough to distribute, and if they do, can they distribute it?
I don't think the question here is whether they have enough to distribute. I think the question is whether they have the capacity to take what's available. If you look at the history of power generation, like I said, we have already have an install. Anytime you are amiss the GenCos, they will tell you of how brightly they have done. I mean, I'm going to say this. I attended the end of the year party of the GenCos about last week in Abuja.
As a stakeholder.
The following day. Well, I mean, we you have to understand the industry.
Absolutely.
You have to mix with everyone, and you also have to, I mean, so that when you are pointing fingers, when you are accusing, when you are criticizing, it is either of two ways. I told you I was with GenCos last week. I was also with the discourse just yesterday. So it's not as if you are towing anybody's particular line, but I mean, you have to be there. You have to mix with them. You have to know what's happening. You have to have the truth. Now, the GenCos will tell you, and I'm going to say this for a fact, because I am also aware, because earlier, last week as well, I was with Mainstream Energy Solutions Limited. They are the operators of Kanji Dam and Jeba.
Right.
You know, the good thing, the wonderful thing that Mainstream has done, I'm going to say this, as of 2013, when Mainstream took over Kanji Dam, none of the turbines were working. There was, in fact, throughout 2014, there was 0 megawatt output from Kanji Dam. As of today, ramped up capacity, almost all the turbines are working. The event we went to witness on Tuesday last week was the award ceremony to bring on another two turbines from Kenji and one from Jeba. Now, that's from the GenCo end. On the DISCO end, where the arguments, okay, now, okay, let me jump to this. Let me go to transmission. Now, incidentally, there was Power Up in partnership with Abuja Chambers of Commerce. Last Monday, we did the first Abuja Power Sector Exhibition and Conference in Abuja right there. And one of the keynote speakers at that event was the Transmission Company of Nigeria, you know, who incidentally, they come up and start telling us about what they are doing to try and improve wind capacity, their ongoing projects and stuff like that.
Right.
But can we speak to what capacity is available? Now, the GenCos, as I like I said, they have an installed capacity of about 15,000 megawatts as of today.
15,000, right?
But at every particular point in time, 15,000 megawatts. Because recently that we have had new generating plants that are added to national grid.
Hmm.
Now, the question is, if GenCos wake up today and do just 50% of their capacity, which is 7.5 megawatts, can transmission take that 7.5 megawatts? Now, if the transmission, the answer is no, right?
Mm.
But let's even assume that the transmission can take 4,000 out of the 7,005, let's assume, right? Mm. So that's another like 20% of what the generation will do. Mm. Can the discos take this thing up? Don't also forget that the discos are the business end of this thing. They are the ones that sell to consumers, and they are the ones that takes, you know, cash. It is from their collections that the GenCos, market operators, ISOs take their own share. It is from the collection from the discos that the GenCos also come and collect their money that for what they have supplied. Now, you see what the problem is. We have a graph that keeps coming down. The GenCos, let's assume they can do 7,005, but can the transmission take it? The answer is no.
Mm.
Let's not assume that the transmission can also take half of what the GenCos have pushed, which is say 4,000.
Right.
Can the discos take it? And it's very funny when you see the Minister of Finance, Minister of Power.
Right.
Celebrating, we need 4,000 megawatts. You'll be shocked that 4,000 megawatts was a split second figure.
Hmm.
It cannot be sustained for 1 hour.
Wow.
You know, so we, like I keep saying, there is a problem along that value chain, you know. So I don't believe that we don't have enough power yet. The demand is high. But again, there is that other aspect of the economy that has to be put into perspective, and which is why I always say something. See, the problem is general.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is general. The problem is in Nigeria. You cannot solve Nigeria's power sector problem without solving Nigeria's problem.
Very true. We're going to have to leave it at that.
Okay.
We're going to have to leave it at that. And it's a great way to end and a great way to segue to Rotimi. You cannot solve the power problem without solving the Nigerian problem, and because it's all intertwined. Thank you very much, and it's been great educating us. And I'm sure people can get in touch with Adetayo Adegbenle, Power Up NG Executive Director. It's a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you very much, Awo. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, and it's just one half of the conversation. We also thank also to Kolawole Luwadare, the Deputy Director of SERAP, Socioeconomic Rights Accountability Project. Unfortunately, we've had issues connecting with him, but for the little while he spoke with us, it was great hearing his thoughts around corruption. This is in partnership with the Wole Soyinka Center for Investigative Journalism. It's a three-part series. We've done two parts already on a number of other things related with power. We've looked at generation, we've looked at transmission. Today we stay with distribution. When we come back from this break, Rotimi Sankore joins in data and development expert. We do a 360 on this. Stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
All right, welcome back. It's 5:03 in Lagos, wherever you are listening. I know we have listeners from far away. Alabama, Birmingham. Thank I see you, Tony, and several others who are joining the conversation on Power Today. In case you just joined in, you've missed one half of a discussion, but hopefully when Rotimi joins in now, we can 360 this, and then you can have the opportunity to see and hear what the big picture is. This discussion is on power distribution. We've had discussions two previous weeks around generation and transmission. Distribution is where we are today. And Rotimi is in. Rotimi, data and development expert, as well as host, Public Square. Rotimi, great to have the opportunity to be with the rest of the square today.
Yeah, I mean, and really a very sad topic,
right?
To discuss. I mean, there is no time that power matter is good to discuss in Nigeria, partly because there is a lot of obfuscation going on. People confuse the whole thing with a lot of policy jargon and you know, and generally not being helpful, because it is helpful to the governments to confuse the issue. You know, now let me just try and put this matter as simply as possible. See, when I was in boarding school in Government College, Umuahia, we had a problem with enough food for the students. And a fake panel was set up to investigate the matter. And believe it or not, some of the findings and reasons for the, you know, small rations of food included that some students were turning up with the wrong size of plates. They said some people, their plates were too small, and therefore they couldn't serve them enough food. They claimed some people turned up with plates that were bigger than the others, and therefore they were cheating people. They said some people came with teaspoon, and there wasn't enough time for them to eat before the bell went.
Oh boy.
They claimed, you know, that the food sharers were partial and sharing more food to their friends. And so, you know,
that's plenty
at the
of
end
research.
Of this panel, yes, at the end of this panel, nobody just simply said, hey, wait. Some people are stealing the food money.
Long and short.
Yes. Some people are stealing the food money. Some of the kitchen staff are going away with the food, and so on and so forth like that. So that's how Nigeria's power problem is. You know, in most discussions,
right,
you don't hear in government circle, for instance, any admission that largely due to incompetence and corruption, enough power is not being generated. You don't hear in official circle that largely due to incompetence and corruption, even the little that is being generated cannot be transmitted and distributed. And the incompetence part of it is essentially based on lack of population-based planning, especially since after the Civil War. Because since after the Civil War was when I had my first consciousness of what people generally describe as NEPA today. Then we called it ECN.
Yeah.
Electricity Corporation
of Nigeria.
At that time too, we had P&T, Post and Telecom, what is now known generally as NITEL.
NITEL, yes.
Yeah. So if there was any planning, say from the time of Gowon, immediately after the war, let's assume that not a lot could have gone on during the war. If there had been population-based planning to say, okay, year on year, these are the population projections.
Right.
This is how much electricity you need for X population.
Mm.
Don't forget, in 1960, Nigeria's population was roughly 45 million.
Mm.
Roughly the same as the colonial master Britain and roughly the same as France.
Mm.
45 million at that time. Today, Nigeria's population is over 200 million and France and Britain are roughly 65 million. So, not only has Nigeria's population grown at a much faster pace by over 160 million at the time those two countries, the main colonial powers in Africa, their population in that period has grown roughly by 20 million. Ours has grown by about 160 million.
Mm.
And the planning from Gowon's time never, never factored in that year on year, we need to increase our capacity to generate, to keep pace with the population growth. We need to increase the capacity to transmit, to keep pace with population growth, and we need to increase capacity to distribute, to keep pace with population growth.
Right.
So today, going by the global standard for sustainable development of 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people, Nigeria now should be generating, transmitting, and distributing over 200,000 megawatts of power. And we're at 5,000. This is the simple analysis of the matter. This question of, you know, if they give enough people meter, there will be light, is a lie. This question of saying, if you charge people, if they allow the discourse to charge people any amount that they like, there will be light, is a lie.
Right.
But you see otherwise intelligent people obfuscating around all those issues.
Mm.
If you bring 1,000 people and ask them to queue for one plate of food, and then you start saying that the only way that that one plate of food can go around 1,000 people is if the food seller is allowed to charge them anything the person likes.
Excellent.
How does charging them more increase the size of the plate of food when enough food has not been cooked?
So, Rosemary, let me bring to your notice, since we are already looking at some of the talking points, planning, infrastructure, and capacity problems. There's a message here from Caleb from Bariga, and he has a question for you, and he's around this talking point where he says, how strategic is Ajaokuta Alaja, Olorunsogbo, and Delta Steel Rolling Mills? Maybe it means Oshogbo, sorry, not to Olorunsogbo, because Olorunsogbo is a power. Oshogbo and Delta Steel Rolling Mills to solving our power issues, he's asking.
They are strategic because you need steel for fabrication.
Right.
So one of the problems of lack of population-based planning is that the governments from Gowon, Murtala, Obasanjo, Shagari, Buhari the first time as a military dictator, Babangida, Abacha, Shonekan, Abdul Salami, Obasanjo again, after his first stint as dictator, coming back as elected president,
right,
and so forth like that.
Yeah.
You know, Yaradua, good luck, Buhari second time around. If they have all factored in population-based planning, and honestly, while I always say that the ideological orientation of a government matters, population and data-based planning is just like 1, 2, 3.
True.
So, all those steel plants matter because ordinarily they should have given us the capacity to fabricate basic components of your electricity network, substations, transformers, mm-hmm. you know, and so on and so forth like
right.
that.
Right.
But the corruption issue in Nigeria means that every new government that comes, you say, in fact, they are now going to resuscitate Ajaokuta in the next 6 months.
Exactly.
Honestly, however, if Ajaokuta is ever resuscitated, they will just find out that whatever is coming out of that place is 40 years out of date.
Mm.
They will find it's 40 years out of date. So our listener that is asking an important question. But those plants themselves need to be upgraded and remodeled so that whatever steel is being produced is refined to meet the technological needs of today in terms of the weight, in terms of the tension, in terms of the strength of the steel. But it all comes down to lack of population-based planning because the gas that is supposed to generate the power is being flared. So if there had been clear population-based planning that, we need to generate X thousand megawatts for X population and they stick to it, then they will not allow the gas to be flared. That the gas is being flared is a clear case of corruption. The companies are settling. The government or whichever department is supposed to prevent the gas from being flared, there are laws against gas flaring. But it keeps happening. If you listen to the old fella song, that this is from the 70s, before solar energy was even, he said, energy everywhere. Energy for sun, energy for moon. Look, we have 365-day electric sunlight in Nigeria. Germany, that is in winter,
right,
5 months of the year, generates more than 40,000 megawatts of power with renewable energy, including solar. Why has that not been optimized in Nigeria? So you can see the sources of the generation are either being wasted or compromised through corruption.
Right.
The gas, the sunlight, the wind, the water.
Right.
So the generation
is
about 195,000 megawatts below what it should be. Even the little generated, if you put everything on the grid, it will collapse.
Absolutely.
So clearly, government after government has not paid attention to the capacity of the grid.
Exactly.
And that is why you hear people saying that even if they could give the little that is available to the discos, they can't distribute.
Right.
So it is important that we do big picture and analysis. Right. It's always annoying, you know, for all this little, you know, it is a metering, it is this, it is that, it is the framework, you know, it is the privatization. It is, no.
Absolutely.
It is the big picture. The big picture is missing, full stop.
Right. So, Rotimi, are there two important talking points I want us to focus on? Because the break beckons, and I'd love that we touch on this one. I will take tariffs because it's the biggest thing that will hit us in the new year when the tariffs are raised again. Tayo says that we don't even understand the mathematics in knowing how they arrive at 1 kilowatt of electricity. How much more than to say whether it's fair or not fair? But what would you say, Rotimi, when we look at tariff generally?
The tariff band thing is what is just described as 419. So there is one of the reports that was supported by the Wole Soyinka Center on Investigative Journalism that demonstrated that when the discourse tell you that if this area and that area and that area go on A, B, and C and pay through their nose, they will get 12 or 18 hours of power across the country,
the discos are not even getting that amount of power that they are promising from the Jenkos.
So true.
So you can see, I mean, that was just the long and short of that story published by the ICIR, supported by the Wolesho Inca Center.
Hmm.
They are promising you what they are not getting. So it's 419.
Hmm.
They are promising you what they can't deliver, even if they are getting it, because they don't have the infrastructure to distribute it.
Hmm.
Look, our the head of research of the Association of Discos, he used to work in the UK.
Hmm.
So he can't say that he doesn't know. When Nigeria's population was about 180 million,
right,
using the UK standard where he came from, he said, and I quote, not paraphrase, quotes, that Nigeria at the time needed 180,000 megawatts of power for the discos to be able to deliver.
Mm.
So there are people in the discos that know that the tariffs are 419. And it is 419 backed up by policy.
Mm.
Because when a policy lie is sold to the public falsely believes that if they pay X tariff, that they will get 18 hours of light. So this is policy criminality. A deliberate lie is being sold to customers. So, I mean, that's just the simplest way to explain it.
Absolutely. And that answers that question. Let's quickly look, Rotimi, at the impact of poor power supply on society and the economy. This is one that bites everyone. It's majority of the comments I see here around that, Rotimi. Let's talk about that.
We can just ask the musical people not to bother turn up, so that we can just continue the public square on this impact of
poor power supply.
Of poor power.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
We can just ask musical movements to just give us their time and go and join the other colleagues at the station beach party. Now, first of all, the economy is in the horrendous position it is because of lack of power.
Mm.
Above all things, of all the things that are keeping the Nigerian economy performing at about 20 or 25% of its capacity, the top of that list is power. Side by side with human capacity. Because, you know, as we always repeat, ad infinitum.
Right.
If someone came from Jupiter today and gave us everything we needed for the power, the solar panels, the substations, the gas-fired stations and everything,
right,
within months, it would collapse because we don't have enough engineers and technicians.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So the human capacity, side by side. But you can't even grow your economy without power.
Very true.
So the high levels of poverty, half the country is living in multidimensional poverty. It's because there is no power to industrialize, to transform anything. Look, Ahol, let me just make a quick statement. The government keeps threatening that they are going to remove the fuel subsidy. Even the government themselves say the fuel subsidy is a scam.
Right.
And I think most people agree. But when the government make the threats that they can't continue with the subsidy, in the next 3 months it must go, in the next 6 months it must go, and then somebody from NNPC comes and tells us that, in fact, in the last quarter, Nigerians used 2 trillion more liters of fuel than usual. And I'm just looking at them and just thinking, say the government is not able to make the connection that the extra trillions of fuel and diesel is being used because there is no electricity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
so if that subsidy goes, and most people agree that the subsidy is a scam,
right,
what is going to happen is that the the diesel and petrol that industries and people need for personal use is going to go through the roof.
Absolutely.
Which means most industries and small businesses are going to collapse.
Very true.
So the biggest business in the country will be handheld fan. This raffia fan, so you can be fanning yourself in the night. Because you won't be able to afford the gen for nothing. So that is going to be the impact. And then when the protest starts, they will turn around and say it's their enemies. As if there is nobody there that can compute, that knows simple mathematics and can foresee what the problem is going to be. So that is going to be the biggest impact going forward. Small businesses will collapse. Even the big industries, we have already many of them fled to Ghana and so forth. This next World Cup coming, people are going to see marvels of electricity. I repeat for the 1,000th time that Qatar, which has a population of 2.9 million, the same as Alimosho local government, has 10,000 megawatts of power.
Absolutely.
So Qatar is 20 times smaller than Nigeria, has twice the power of Nigeria. And at that World Cup, people are going to see air-conditioned stadium. Air-conditioned stadium at the World Cup. Oh. I remember being in the National Stadium once, and the light went off during a match. Yes, in the 80s.
And it's still going off now. We're going to go on a break shortly in the next minute, but I just would quickly read a message here on WhatsApp. And when we come back, we'll open the phone lines with the little time we have left once the ads are done. This gentle, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman, he's gone through the headache of helping us with the formula, saying that, do you know the formula for fraudulent bills is ADC times 30 times tariff, which equals crazy bill, where the DISCO ADC is average daily consumption, first times 30 days. Whether the customer see light or not, the tariff for that area is multiplied by 30. So you got 18 times 30, which is 540 kilowatts, multiplied by 29. 29 is the lowest tariff rate, that's 29 naira per kilowatt, which comes up to 15,660. Whether you use the light or you don't use the light.
The long and short is that they use estimated billing to balance their books.
Oh my goodness.
Even the Speaker of the House, Badabia Miller, has described it as barefaced criminality.
All right, the math is not mathing up, but let's go on a quick break. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines and we'll look at social media as well as on WhatsApp and hear what you have to say. 99.3 Nigeria Info is the Public Square. Let's talk.
More talk, news and sports after this.
The Public Square. Welcome back on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're coasting home and thank you for staying with us, your number one talk news and sports station. I'm Awo Obo, together with Rotimi Sankore. We're looking at the power situation in the country. And we've had discussions from the top of the hour, from 4 p.m. with Kolawole Oluwadare and Adetayo Adegbemle, Power Up NG, and Serap, and then we've had discussions also too, back and forth. So Roti, we're going to go to the phone lines almost immediately because we're concluding the discussions on the power situation for today, and we're good to have the listening audience share their 50 kobo with us. 0700-993-993-993 is the number to call. Male, female, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. On WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. All right, Rotimi, you're still there. All right, Rotimi will connect. But let's get to the
phone. I'm with you.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Hello and good evening.
A very good evening to you, Al Horrible.
Excellent.
A good evening to you, Mr. Our guest in the studio.
Excellent. Let's get on with it quickly, sir.
My name is Prince Wires, calling from Amuwa Dofi.
All right, Prince Wires, go ahead.
This power problem, the people handling the power project in this country, especially the private body, do they have resources or are they capable to manage this organization? That might be a question to the federal government. To privatize this is 2013 or 2014. Up to this, we are still driving the rumbling and fumbling between 5,000 megawatts and 4,000 megawatts. Why not increase it to 10 as he promised, to 20 as he promised? But there are the major thing behind this problem in this country, if it is corruption. And if somebody can tell me there's no corruption, I can't believe. So what I see, that the making this to be looking this way, to make everything look like this, the corruption behind it,
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prince Wires. Hello and good evening. Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is Azubike. I'm calling from Oluoshodi.
All right, Azubike, excellent. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Coming to this power sector of the thing that I've been talking every season in season out, it has become an award of some. So every Nigerian, including me, myself, if you see the way electricity tariff is getting increasing every day by day, I don't see whether we can be able to survive in this country. And I don't what I'm suggesting in this power sector is there is a lot of corruption in that system that is swallowing the whole money that federal government is pumping every year. Do you know that if you went to the rural areas, they don't used to have like 3 years, 4 years? You know that we are near Lagos, even some part of Lagos, sometimes they do call in Nigeria info that since 3 years they don't have light. 4 years they don't have light. Somebody that is living in Lagos that doesn't have light for 3 years. What about those who live in the rural areas? They live in the blackout. Let us find a way to fix all this corruption that is disrupting the whole system in Nigeria.
All right.
Because everything will become once and for
all. All right. Thank you very much, Azubike. Hello and good evening. All right. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Excellent. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Good evening.
Good.
Look, I'm Job from Bariga.
Say that again.
You and
Job.
Mr. Wabo and Sankoro.
Yeah.
I love this program. Every Friday, I don't do anything. I like watching, listening to this program. I'm made today. I don't know what I will do for you and Wabo that is anchoring this program. I'm full of. Nigeria has such intelligent people and we're suffering. May God help us and rescue us from this problem.
All right. Thank you very much. I remember I saw your message also on WhatsApp. Thank you very much. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Excellent. Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Paul from Egbeda.
Paul from Egbeda.
The gentleman of Nigeria Info Agogo. I love you so much. Your guest in the studio, what's that his name?
My co-host, Rotimi Sankore.
Rotimi Sankore, the man of the year. I love him. Now, the problem we are having concerning the power sector is that the federal government is not sincere in the fight of corruption. Because this contract is not given to ordinary Nigerians. It's given to the bourgeoisies, the politicians. It is their companies that are getting this contract and taking the billions of dollars. So if the government is sincere with the fight of corruption, these people are supposed to be behind the bars and our money recovered. The moment the federal government becomes sincere, the power problem in Nigeria will be sorted out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Always a pleasure. Let's run to WhatsApp and take a number of comments here. Samson from K2 says, it's the grid to transmit enough watts or rocket science to work on. The question is asking rhetorical, I can imagine. Let's not forget that the marketers assigned to the areas have a monthly target. That is why they mark areas that they pay bills more and keep increasing their bills. Don't have your name, sir, but thank you very much. To solve the power problem, we must first start by identifying those whose interest is it for Nigeria to stay in darkness. A no-brain clue point to their direction is, if those who get money for subsidy because of electricity and PMS are substitute goods, MI from Akoka here, I'm tired of electricity distribution company, Moyoshore from Yaba writes, they disconnected our line from the grid last month because we couldn't pay up last month's charge. We did not bother to reconnect it. This month now they bring another bill for us, even though we never used electricity since last month. Tony from Birmingham, Alabama says, the government should make the power sector an all-commerce affair, remove all the bottlenecks that is hindering capable hands from getting into the industry. Thank you very much also to Tony. Any consumer, he says, okay, I have this one. Okay, this is our man with the calculation. He's done another calculation. Sorry, I can't take. would love to have you with the calculation, but someone is asking, is the Twitter space on after the show? My name is Okechukwu. Okay, I see you, sir. No, it's not on.
But, well, the space is not on, but you can link up and ask any questions.
Yes, you can link up and ask any question you want on Twitter.
I'm on social media, just my name, at Rotimi Sankore.
And same with my name, too, at Aoro Obo. Yeah. Which means there's never enough time to handle this thing. There are lines buzzing, messages dropping in, but I think we've...
Yes, because lights concerns everybody.
Absolutely.
I see a lot of people are talking about corruption. A lot of people are not talking about incompetence.
But we have to go now, Timmy.
Okay. All right. So next Friday, we do a recap of 2021.
Excellent.
So join us to talk about your big story of 2021.
Brilliant.
Next Friday, 4 p.m.
All right. Let's give it a date. A big show. We're opening in the square, and it's going to be your show next Friday. We're going to go on a quick break. We come back with the news. After the news, we have Music and Moments with Sammy and Ifai. 99.3 Nigeria Info, let's talk.
More conversation, more talk, more right after this. It's Pepsi December! And the Bedu is on lock. Get ready as we turn up the rhythm louder than ever at Pepsi Rhythm Unplugged 2021. Featuring performances from Pepsi brand ambassadors Rema, Iris Star, also performing Adekunle Gold, Ruga, Buju, Tenny, Fireboy, Mayokun, CK, Oxlade, Ladibo, Blackbones, and so many more. Spinning on the console is Pepsi brand ambassador DJ Copy alongside other DJs. Pepsi Rhythm Unplugged goes down on the 23rd of December at the Eco Convention Center. It's gonna be loud, and every moment of it refreshed by Pepsi. COVID-19 safety protocols will be enforced. Follow at Pepsi Nigeria on all social media platforms for a chance to win tickets. Pepsi, for the love of it.
Be there amazing with Golden Granny Amazing Day Instant Cereal. Amazing Day contains the power of four for strong bones, sharp eyes, and a healthy belly. Golden Granny Amazing Day Instant Cereal. Be there amazing.
To grow a business in Nigeria, your connections have to be strong. And I'm not talking about some godfather in the villa or plugs in the corridors of power. No, it's the small, everyday connections like, how quickly do you address customer queries? How effectively do you track your staff progress? Yeah, that's the kind of connection we're talking about. And to be that connected, you need a reliable partner like Airtel Business.
That's right. With Airtel Business, you enjoy reliable, unlimited fixed internet that keeps all your business connections seamless. You also enjoy 24/7 dedicated care lines. Contact Airtel Business at ng.airtel.com today.
Airtel, the smartphone network.
Blessing and blessing, make everybody be wonder. Waiting because I'll shine.
long hair or short doesn't matter. Crochet or dreadlocks can be better. Only for girls
with beautiful people know how to make an impression. And that's why they only trust Lush Hair Extensions to bring out the shine in them. Lush Hair. Be beautiful.
It's another season of festivities. But what's the fun if you can't show love to family and friends with Remita? Spread love this season with Remita. Buy electricity, data, and airtime, and renew cable TV subscription for your loved ones on Remita. Let love lead. Visit www.remita.net to pay bills and do more as you spread love this season. Remita, because payments should be easy.
Who want to make the right choices every day? Choices that bring out the sparkle in you and those that are inspired by you. The new Nestle Pure Life Sparkling Water is made just for you. So go ahead and get your sparkle on with the new Nestle Pure Life Sparkling Water.
Tammy, see how you are packing all the Quaker Oats. Now, wow.
My sister, my family and I don't joke with Quaker Oats. Now we even get a free gift with each pack. So the more Quaker Oats we buy, the more free gifts we get.
It's this fine cereal bowl I want to.
Everyone can win with Quaker Oats. It is rich in fiber for easy digestion and keeps you full for longer. And now you get a free gift with every 500-gram pack. Offer available.